fault. There we go. Thank you so much, praise and worship team. It was beautiful singing this morning. Love that song. We'll worship him until the very end. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And I want to begin reading at verse 15. And I'm going to read a little bit more scripture than I usually do this morning. I'm going to read all the way over to verse 38, the rest of the entirety of chapter 20. So hopefully you don't lock your knees this morning when you stand. I don't want nobody passing out. They always told us when I was in the Air Force, when you would be standing in one of the military parades, if you stood and you had to stand at attention, and we had some guys pass out, if you lock your knees, it would cut off circulation of the blood flow to your brain. And so they told you to always bend your knees a little bit, you know, and so hopefully you won't have to stand that long this morning. But if you feel yourself getting faint, by all means, sit down, okay? But would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Acts chapter 20, beginning at verse 15. And we sailed thence and came the next day over against Chios. And the next day we arrived at Samos and tarried at Troglodytium. And the next day we came to Miletus. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus, because he would not spend time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know that from the first day I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable from you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, and to all of the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember, that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, It is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. And I want to preach for just a very few moments this morning on the subject of the obedience, the foundation, and the blessing. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, how I thank you this morning for the presence of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, today I'm asking you for a special grace. I'm asking you in your kindness and in your mercy for a special anointing today, Lord Jesus. I pray you'll give me the wisdom of God. I pray that Jesus Christ will be exalted today and that the people of God will be strengthened in their faith by the Holy Spirit. And Lord, may we be reminded today of the glory of our faith resting in Christ and Him crucified. Lord Jesus, have your will and have your way in this service today. And we'll not fail to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for whatever you do this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, good. Nobody fell out. I'll never forget late September of 1999. Our lives were going tremendously well in every area, financially, spiritually. We had good jobs. We had two beautiful little baby children in Tara and Austin. And all of a sudden, the Lord came in and started to mess everything up. No, I'm just kidding. He didn't mess everything up. He began to stir our hearts. And we knew something was coming. We didn't know what. We knew the Lord was getting ready to make a major change in our lives. And even we didn't realize the magnitude of that change. Our pastor then at Mount Vernon, Brother Lawson, called me into his office and he said, Greg, he said, I'm retiring. And he said, I believe the Lord has spoken to my heart and I think this church would be all for it. We would want to know, would you consider becoming the pastor of this church? Man, I shook to my very soul, even though I'd evangelized a lot and preached a lot. But at that second, I knew, this is what the Lord wants us to do. And I went home and told Vonnie, and I want to tell you this morning, honey, I am so grateful to God that He's given me you as a wife. A minister of the gospel could not ask for a better wife than you. Vonnie doesn't do a whole lot of things in the out and open like singing or anything like that. Let me tell you this. This little lady's on her knees for me all the time. Her prayer life is astounding. And without hesitation, when I came home and told her, she looked back at me and she said, we've got to do it. And then in October of 1999, we walked out of our jobs, very lucrative jobs, at Boeing Aircraft to take a church running in about 50, 60 people. Not a lot of money. Everybody thought we were nuts. Everybody. The people we worked with, our family, her dad, whom I loved like a real dad, Dad Conley. He looked at me and said, Greg, are you sure you're doing the right thing here? And I said, yes, Dad, I am. And it's tough. I thought about that this week as I was preparing this message. When people that you love with all of your heart think you've lost your mind. I mean, and I understood where they were coming from. I understand looking at this situation in the natural, it made absolutely no sense whatsoever. It would be absurdity to most people to do what we were doing. But God gave us the gift of faith. We were discussing this week of how right now, I don't think we could do it again because thankfully God's not calling us to do it, but He called us to do that. And He gave us the gift of faith to do it. And we knew to obey Him was the greatest thing that we could ever do. So we walked out of Boeing, and God blessed us because we obeyed Him. That taught us a great lesson in faith, Ravon and I, that obeying the Lord completely is the greatest thing you could ever do. Oh, we had people come to us and say, well, why don't you just keep working at Boeing and pastor the church, similar to what I'm doing right now. It makes a lot of good sense, right? But at that point in time, God said no. He told both of us, I want you to both go into the ministry full time and dedicated unto me. I thought about Saul when Samuel had told him when he wiped out the Amalekites and the Philistines, he said, kill everything. Leave nothing. The commandment of God through Samuel told him that. Saul compromised God's commandment. He didn't kill all the animals. And when Samuel came to him, he said, "What meaneth this bleating of the sheep?" You see, an incomplete obedience is equivalent to disobedience. And we knew that. We had to obey God. No matter who thought we were crazy, no matter who thought we'd lost our minds, in spite of flying in the face of all of man's conventional wisdom, we knew we had to obey God. And we did. And I can tell you this morning, flat-footed unequivocally, you obey Him, He will not let you down. Hallelujah. Time would fail me this morning to tell you of the miracles that He's worked for us. And it has always been easy since that time. But I'm telling you this, He's always been faithful to us. And He's always taken care of us when we've obeyed Him. The scripture we read this morning, the great apostle Paul, his ministry is coming to a conclusion. He knows that he has to go and do certain things for the Lord that have been commanded him of the Lord. And that was the hallmark of his ministry. And that he sought to obey God explicitly and implicitly and down to the minutest detail. The Lord had told him to go to Jerusalem. He had spent about 3 years here establishing churches throughout Asia as he had received the great Macedonian call when he saw the man of Macedonia saying, "Come on over here and help us." He was faithful to that call for 3 years. He obeyed the Lord. And everywhere he went, he knew that if he laid the right spiritual foundation, that he wouldn't always be there with these churches that he was establishing. He knew that. But he knew this, if he established those churches on the right foundation, that they would be able to withstand anything that come their way. That's why every church he went to and established, it was established on one spiritual foundation, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Your life, if it's built upon that foundation of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, you can stand against anything. You didn't hear that this morning. I said if you build your life on the foundation of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, you can stand through anything because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. You have the Holy Ghost of God on the inside of you. And everywhere Paul went, he established that foundation in the church. Because he knew in his heart he wasn't always going to be with them people. And he knew, thank God, that here at this church, the foundation of this church ain't Greg Browning. Praise God. Y'all would be sad lot if it were. Can I tell you? Missed a great chance to say amen there. You'd be a sad lot if this church was built on Greg Browning. If your faith is in Greg Browning, I feel sorry for you. But I don't believe a one of you has your faith in me because I have striven every message to put you on that foundation of Christ and Him crucified and to tell you your answer lies at the foot of the mighty cross of Jesus Christ. And with that foundation, and Paul knew this, you could stand through anything. The churches he established would stand through anything because they weren't built on his personality. They were built on none other than the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he told them. I labored day and night through many tears. It cost me a lot everywhere I went to lay this foundation. But he told them, "I've laid you a firm foundation." But Paul also knew that his time there was coming to an end. He loved these people. They loved him. He had worked and labored among them for 3 years. And you know, you have a special affinity for somebody who leads you into true spiritual things. I had the opportunity this week to speak to my dear friend and my pastor, Lauren Larson, who was so encouraging to me. And he was the one who led me into the message of the cross. Lauren has a very special, special place and always will. In my heart and life. But as much as I love Lauren, if I found out he did something crazy tomorrow and backslid, or whatever, did just something stupid, I'd still love him. But my faith would not be destroyed. For my faith is not in Lauren Larson. My faith is in Jesus Christ and what he did for me at the cross. That should be the foundation of every believer's life. Not a man, not a personality, but Christ and Him crucified. And I thank God for Lauren. They see the same relationship existed between Paul and these people at Miletus. But Paul knew God's calling me to go on to Jerusalem. And he had to do what God was telling him to do. These people didn't want him to go. They loved him. They loved him. He had established them in their faith. And he warns them, don't move off of this foundation. Men are going to come in, some from even within the churches I've established, and they're going to try and sway you from this foundation of Christ and Him crucified. He said, you've been established in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Don't let them. Don't ever let go of that. Don't ever leave it. Because if your foundation remains unchanged, you will continue on being a church, no matter who comes and no matter who goes, because your foundation is on the unchangeable, immutable person of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for you at the cross. Paul, realizing now that God had told him, it's time to go into Jerusalem, Paul. It's time to leave these people that you have given your all for. I'm calling you on. What if Paul had told the Lord no on this? We wouldn't have much in the New Testament. God would have raised up somebody else to be sure, but he had chosen Paul to go these places. I know when we came to Springfield in June of 2003, we were scared to death. And again, everybody telling us how crazy we were for leaving a good church in Mount Vernon. You know, that's when we were still in the Church of God, and I had Church of God ministers calling me up and telling me, you know, why do you want to leave a good church like Mount Vernon and go to Springfield? Well, that guy retiring, simply, God was telling us to. God was telling us to. And I wanted to obey God. I don't want to be condescending or come across as arrogant, but this is a truth, and I hope you build your life this way. When God, and you know in your heart, it's God, everybody else ain't going to understand it. Even people you love very, very much may not always understand. When God called Abraham out of Ur, the Chaldees, He said, Abraham, I'm calling you out, and I'm not even going to show you fully where you're going. I'm just calling you out to follow me. Abraham obeyed. Abraham obeyed. Obedience to God is the greatest thing that will happen. Because if you obey God, I've learned, eventually, he'll prove out what He was telling you to do to everybody. You all know. Look at what happened had I not come to Springfield. If I disobeyed God, you possibly would not have the message of the cross right now. The foundation upon which your lives are predicated. But praise God, He gave us the wisdom and the desire to obey Him. So obedience and being on the right foundation will always bring the blessing of God. Even when it don't make sense sometimes, it'll bring the blessing of God if you'll obey Him and you'll remain on the right foundation. I've learned that. And it was Paul's time now to depart Miletus and go into Jerusalem. And he does something very strange as he assembles the elders. Not strange, but different from Jewish custom. As they're all together, gathered around him, it was the custom of the Jews to pray standing up. But Paul, the greatest apostle, would be used by God to write over a third of the New Testament, gets down on his knees before these elders and tells them, I love you, but I've got to go. God's calling me on. They were heartbroken. He had established them in this glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. But it says they hugged his neck and they kissed him. And they walked to the ship with him very sorrowful. Because Paul knew, he said, the Holy Ghost has shown me what's down the road for me is bondage and a lot of trouble. But he knew where it was going to end up, with a crown of righteousness in heaven with Jesus Christ. So he obeyed God, even though he knew his road ahead was going to be difficult. He said, "The Holy Ghost has shown me nothing but trouble awaits me, but I've got to do what God's telling me to do." Man, I've always prayed and sought God, "Give me that kind of heart to obey you, Lord, even when it costs me something personal." And I'm not saying this to aggrandize myself, and as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9, let me do some foolish boasting for a minute. I've scrubbed toilets to get to preach this gospel of Jesus Christ. Some of you in here, Sister Helen, who she's doing fine, by the way, I spoke with her this week. They've had a house situation and had to be out of town. She scrubbed toilets with me for the Lord Jesus Christ to keep this message of the cross going for as long as we could. Some others of you in here did. I don't want to start naming names. But it's meant a great deal to me. I don't take this lightly, what I do for the Lord. I hope you all know that by now. And it's a difficult morning for us this morning in one sense. And that we feel. And I want to say this flat-footedly and unequivocally. After much prayer, the Lord is calling us away from Crossway Community Church. I want to obey Him. I love you. We want to obey Him. And as much as we love you all, and always will, nothing will ever change that. I feel God's calling me back into an evangelistic ministry. And I have a letter that I want to read to you this morning because I wanted to get it right. I didn't want to miss one word. And I believe the Lord's helped me to write this letter. And we got to obey the Lord. But I can tell you flat-footedly and unequivocally, due to the events that have happened this week, I know we're in the will of God. There is no doubt in my mind whatsoever. So with that, I'd like to take just a moment, if you would, and read you this letter. Dear Crossway family, the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Every time I read this passage from Psalm 37:23, I'm reminded that my life is not my own. I belong to God. Ravana and Tara and Austin belong to God. We've committed both our individual lives and our marriage to His calling and purpose. We've resolved to travel together as a family down the path that He has set before us. We've always entrusted our steps to Him and have striven to obey His direction for us. It was God's leading that brought us to Springfield in June of 2003. It was His plan for us to start Crossway Community Church. He gave us a passion for those who desire the truth of the gospel and wanted to follow the glorious message of the cross. Over the last 6 years, we've developed a deep love for each and every one of you. The blessings of God have been abundant as the Holy Spirit has moved on us and we've grown in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that our days here in Springfield and at Crossway Community Church have been ordained by none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what makes today so difficult. Through seeking the Lord, we believe that God is asking us to travel down a new path. A path that will lead us away into an evangelistic ministry, a new position with the government in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and away from the pastorate of you, our Crossway family. I have always considered first and foremost my calling to be that of an evangelist. That has always been my heartbeat, saving souls and seeing souls saved. This decision has been the most difficult one we've had to make to date in our ministry. The difficulty comes in not in saying yes to God and obeying Him, but in saying goodbye to all of you. I guess that's why God has reminded us lately of Proverbs 16:9. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. In our hearts, we never thought this day would come. We thought we would be your pastors forever and have labored and ministered as such. We've served the Lord with the mindset we would never leave. However, the Lord has been stirring our hearts, and we can say without doubt our time at Crossway is coming to an end. Today, February 17th, 2013, we are officially resigning as your pastors with the full intent to provide transitional pastoral leadership until April 15th, 2013, if the church and pastors' council so desire us to, or until you would inform us otherwise. Please hear these words from the bottom of our hearts. Though our relationship as your pastors will change, our love for you will never change. One day, we'll all be together again, where there'll be no sad goodbyes and no departing, and we can look forward to that day. We'll spend eternity together in the presence of the Lord. And what a glorious day that will be. In the meantime, I'd like to share with you the words of Psalm 37:25. King David, near the end of his life, had learned many lessons, but the greatest of these was this: I was young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed out begging bread. That's a promise that we can all cling to. In conclusion, Ravana, Tara, Austin, and I thank you from the bottom of our hearts for the privilege of being your pastors these past 6 years. It's been one of the highest honors and callings of our lives. But now it's God's time for us to move on. We love you. We will always love you. I pray that we'll always be friends. And I want to say this. This is not from anything prepared. And I hope you know how hard this is for me today. You may think, some of you possibly, Pastor, you're missing the Lord by a mile. I feel with all of my heart I am not. I will tell you that unequivocally. But I would say this to you. Do any of us have a direct pipeline to God? Do you know what God, can you see what God is doing in my heart? I'm asking, just don't be so arrogant as to flatly say, oh, you're out of the will of God. At least be humble enough to be willing, I could be wrong. Pastor, I could be wrong. You could be obeying the Lord exactly as what he's telling you to do. And I believe that. I believe that. Things have happened this week that time would fail me. But I know. And I'm settled in my heart beyond a shadow of a doubt. This is God's will for our lives. And we love you. And we will always be there for you. But it's just God's time. We're not mad at nobody. We're not disgruntled. I think you know that. But we want to obey God. And we must do what we feel he's leading us to do. Would you please stand? Heavenly Father, I bless in the name of Jesus, having no authority of my own, but the authority that has been given me by your sacrificial death and resurrection. I bless this church and this congregation in the name of Jesus. Lord, I know you've got a pastor for them, and I pray now for their fresh faith to fall on them to know that this church is not built upon Greg Browning. It is built upon the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross. And I pray, Lord, you'll anchor this church even deeper in that faith. And Lord, I know you've got a pastor for him, and that search has already begun, as Pastor Chris is going to share in a few moments. We bless them in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray and know you're going to give them a pastor that I pray in 6 months from now, they won't even remember Greg Browning's name. This new pastor will be so wonderful. And I believe you're going to do that for them, Lord. Bless them and keep them. in the name of Jesus. Keep them in obedience to you. Keep them on the foundation of Christ and Him crucified. And I know the blessing of God will come in a myriad of ways upon them. We bless this church in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you so much.